1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 15 this morning. I've been thinking a lot lately about the things I hear, the interactions I have, and what's something that I hear a lot of. Well, right off the bat, let's start with this. I very often hear things about the nature of the world that we're in. I very often hear things about why the world has gone so south. You know, for years, Christians have had hundreds, if not thousands, of revival services, millions of church services. And we've constantly came up, and there's nothing wrong with this, this is good. We've constantly came up and we've prayed for our churches to grow, for people to come to faith. But what's missing is the question. You know, there's something missing here. Many have blamed the world in we live as a product of this society, that God somehow can't work in this society. But that's not scriptural. I do want to ask us a simple question today. What is the real reason that the church and Christians within it have not seen a true revival in some time? I'm talking about the big church, global church. Why have we not seen a true revival for generations? What is missing? Well, let's go ahead and go to the Holy Bible today in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. If you'd stand with me for the reading of God's Word today, starting in verse 15. Scripture says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we bow before you on this day, Father, I pray today that each one of us are able to truly say, I am holy today. Father, I am upright. I am righteous with you. Father, we know that we cannot achieve perfection, Father, but one thing we can achieve today is holiness. And I pray each one of us in this place would seek that holiness upon our lives. Father, I pray your hand upon God's people today. Father, that your Spirit may move in a mighty way through your Word. Father, as it already has through the worship we've heard today. And Father, I say these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated. I think most of us would agree that living in a corrupt world is a legitimate truth. We live in a corrupt world. We live in a sinful world. We live in a world that has not seen what it looks like to follow God's truth for some time. But the excuse that living in a corrupt world is what prohibits church growth is not necessarily realistic. Brothers and sisters, are you aware that all great revivals that have taken place have began in a time of decline? They have began when the world is in despair, when it's at its worst moments. I can prove this through some of the historical facts. Let's look at some of those. See, what's often perceived as hopelessness, God often perceives as opportunity. And I pray today that you would perceive it as opportunity today. But let's start with the one we're all so familiar with, the Great Awakening. The Great Awakening was a very apparent opportunity to start. Historically, the Great Awakening, the world was in a downward spin. They were spinning towards socialism. Everyone was becoming materialistic. They were looking to the ways of the world instead of the ways of God. historically speaking, that was the trends of the world in the day. This was recognized particularly by one man, Jonathan Edwards, who began shouting from the pulpit with conviction. He said, God was an angry judge and humans were sinners. Friends, if this revival example is not enough, let's look at another one. Did you know that what is considered by many to be one of the top 10 greatest revivals of all time happened during World War II? And if you search it, it's going to be called the World War II Revival. Well, here is the situation there. You see, the world was in one of the darkest times. The world was at war socially, politically, economically. Things were falling apart. But you know what it drew God's people to do? It drew God's people to pray. And guess what happens when God's people pray? They become holy. They become right with Him. And they seek His face. And then the world around them begins to change. And revival broke out. One book I read considered this revival as the sixth greatest revival of all time, only because God's people prayed. Now, it wasn't because the world was perfect. Very rarely does perfection in the world bring any kind of revival. When our lives are going good, we don't seek God. It's just, unfortunately, a lot of our human nature. But history teaches us that when God's people are driven to prayer, that revival can start, that holiness can start within us. But what if it wasn't just that they prayed? What if it was that they drew so close to God? They were looking so inwardly, in and of themselves. With a world around them that's falling apart, they were looking inside of themselves and saying, what am I missing? What if it was that? What if it was that they drew to God? What if it was they became holy in the darkest of days? That their relationship with Him grew and then revival began. Friends, one truth we can always rest assured in is that God is faithful. He's always been faithful and He will always be faithful. We know that He is the centerpiece of our lives. So why does time after time, church after church, host service after service, and lives not be changed? Why are many going to walk out of buildings today and their hearts not drawn to God? Every time the church doors open, folks walk in, they sit down, they hear the worship, they hear the Word of God, but they leave the same old them. Why do you think that is? See, rarely do people walk into the church and seek true life transformation each time the Word of God is spoke to them. I don't just mean for the unsaved, by the way. That means for us Christians too. Did you come into the house of the Lord today saying, I hope the Word of God changes me today? Brothers and sisters, if you didn't hope the Word of God changes you today, you're here with the wrong intention. And even more rarely do people spend a sufficient amount of time in their prayer life, in their Bible reading. I won't get into the statistics of it, but if you look into the stats of this, very few people read their Bible on a regular basis or go to the Lord in prayer on a regular basis besides on Sunday at church. As the Word of God goes out, I pray today, first off, that most of us would seek true life transformation. That we would all be recognizing that He has an opportunity to speak to us, to change us today. And the Scripture can change our hearts. Friends, we've spoken on revival, but here's the interesting part. This really isn't even a revival message. Friends, this is a holiness message. This is about our personal holiness. So let's begin by talking about holiness. What is holiness? And where are we missing the mark? The reality is that revival is inevitable when God's people are looking inwardly at their own holiness. So where else to begin with that than the Holy of Holies, Jesus Christ? This brings us to our first point, which is, who is Jesus? How can we describe Jesus? You see, there's thousands of acronyms we could use to describe Jesus. But the most important one is what is used in 1 Peter to describe Him when the Scripture teaches, He is holy. I am holy, Scripture says. You may ask, why is that the most important? Well, friends, here's the simple answer. It's important because if Jesus were not holy, nothing else that we could describe Him as then works. If Jesus were not holy, Jesus could not have been perfect and pure. If Jesus were not holy, Jesus could not have been Messiah. If Jesus were not holy, Jesus could not have been our Savior. Friends, you see, if Jesus were not holy, He could not be any of the other acronyms that we may describe Him with. But Jesus simply is that. He is holy. And holiness was and still is the centerpiece of who He is. But let's pause for a minute because I wanted to define something. But I don't want to define holiness. Because I think if we define the opposite of holiness, which is to be unholy, it may set a little more with us. See, we could define holiness, but in your eyes, I want to ask this question. How severe would someone's actions need to be in order to be considered unholy in your eyes? How severe would someone's actions need to be in order for you to consider them unholy? I want you to think on that for just a second, and then I'll define holiness, unholiness for us. Unholiness is this. Unholiness is lacking the characteristics of godly purity. Think of that again. It's lacking the characteristics of godly purity. Who here can say that true godly purity seems substantial? It seems difficult, maybe even impossible. So who is Jesus, we ask? Well, Jesus is God in the flesh that had to live with the same temptations as us, yet He stayed 100% pure. You may be saying, why don't you tell me something I don't know? Well, here you go. And this leads us into our second point, is that He is asking of us the same level of purity. Does that seem impossible? That He is asking of us the same level of purity that He had. So that brings us to this. Search yourself. Though Jesus' temptation was strong, He remained holy. He remained pure. But here's the reality. None of us on our own can remain holy outside of Him. None of us on our own can attain that. But people will tell you that that means holiness is unattainable. And that's not true. But let's talk about why that isn't true. The answer can be found in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. That scripture says this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You see, when is the last time you asked God to search you? You see, here's the reality. We cannot achieve holiness in and of ourselves, but when we allow God to search us, when we allow God to look into us and to reveal to us what are the iniquities in our life, where are our failures? Where are our faults? Where are we unholy? My guess is for many of us, he would begin to reveal stuff that we really don't want to see. We would begin to see relationships that we didn't know we still had hate in. We would begin to see situations in which we've said things that we never repented of. And we would begin to see what it really looks like to see holiness with him. But if he searched you today, would you even listen to the results? If he were to tell you, here is where you're unholy, what would you say? Would you deny it? Far too many in our world become offended as soon as someone confronts their wrong. As soon as they hear something that they don't like, as soon as they hear something that steps on them and makes them frustrated, they deny it. They don't want to own up to it. But what if God confronted your wrong today? Would you own up to the wrong? What if he confronted the unholy lifestyle that you may be living, the priorities that you may be making, the things, time that you spend on everything else besides him? Would you listen? You see, unholiness that is, has a grip on our society. There are consequences coming for those who seek not to be holy in him. For those that seek the ways of the world but never seek God. For those that say it is impossible to be holy, let's rephrase that. It is impossible to be perfect. That is unattainable, friends. Because perfection was only achieved by him. But holiness is attainable. It's attainable when we go to God and we are right with him. When we repent of our sins. When we are in godly purity with the one who created us. Holiness does not mean that we have not sinned. Holiness means that we, when we sin, we repent of that sin. It means that sin is not a part of our life. It means that we are walking with our God. Holiness means that we are with God and he owns our life. And friends, we know that God casts our sins as far as the east is from the west. So if we know that's true, if we know he's faithful in that, that's how holiness is achieved. There are no unconfessed sins in our life. Holiness means that we allow God to search us, to show us of the evil that is within us, and then we repent of that. So that brings us to this. Are you holy? I hope it's a fair question that you can ask yourself today. Are you holy? We say all this because one major problem is that most of us don't want to recognize our own sin. It does not take an educated person, it does not take a person with the most money to walk with God. And that's all he's really asking. God does not place earthly restrictions on holiness. Because here's the thing, God just wants people that wants to dwell with him. And so really the question here today maybe should be, do you want to dwell with him? Do you want to walk with him? Do you want him to be an intimate and integral part of your life? Many are perfectly happy while things are going good, you see. That's why revival rarely breaks out in times when things are going good. Because we're a kind of people who want to do it on our own. And when things are going good, we don't need him. But when things go south, he's the first place we turn. But what if at a time when things are going bad, in a time when all I hear from most of you in this congregation and most of the people I'm around, I've heard it at least six times this morning about the society that we're living and where it's going. And I'm not denying that, but if that's true, what if we take that as an opportunity today? I feel God would find an opportunity in that And we need to look inwardly first. We need to look at our own holiness first. We need to be broken in prayer. What I mean by that is we need to be so faithful in our prayer life right now more than ever. We need to be so faithful to seeking holiness in our home life right now more than ever. But what if instead of always looking outwardly, we look inwardly? What if we look to ourselves and we allow God to search our hearts and we allow God to show us where it is that we have went wrong? I had the opportunity about a month ago to sit in a seminar for, if some of you may know this already because I've talked to some of you about it, but sit in a seminar with the gentleman who had the privilege to be the one that God used at Asbury College when Asbury's revival broke out. And through that meeting, I learned a lot, but what I learned most of all is on that day at Asbury, he wasn't preaching on revival. He was preaching on holiness. He was preaching on the students at that college looking to themselves and being right with God. And so today I think we need to ask ourselves the same question. Are we right with God? Are we holy with Him? Are we standing with Him where we need to be standing with Him? Are we departing the things of the world that we need to be departing? Or are we always looking back to the world for our hope? Friends, the despair is that He has not called us to a life of unholiness. He has called us to a life of holiness. Every day. Not just today. Not just tomorrow. He expects holiness from us for our whole life. That doesn't mean we come to the altar, we make a decision, and then we go back into our own sin life. That means our lives are changed. That means every time that you hear the Word of God, be it from here or be it from somewhere else, that the Word of God, when it's opened, when this Bible is open, and you hear the Scripture come out of it, that it changes you, and it changes you for the better, to be more holy, to look more like Him. Now, I want to do something a little unconventional this morning. I think time after time, we have found ourselves looking around in the altar calls or whatever else, looking around, who's coming up? I'm going to ask all of you just to close your eyes this morning for a moment. Now, here's how I envision it, so I'll share it with you. I envision putting a hula hoop around myself. I know it sounds silly. But a circle around yourself in some way, shape, or form. And if you were to put a circle around yourself, can you sit here with a circle around yourself and say, everything in this circle is holy? Can you sit here and say, everything that is standing here within this circle, there's no iniquity with God. There's no sin unrepented. There's no time that I need to say, God, you need to search me because I've already done it. I'm holy. I'm walking with Him. And friends, if you can't say today, I am holy, that everything in this circle is holy, then I pray today that you would take this opportunity here in a few minutes to make it right with God. I pray right now that you would pray that God would search your heart and reveal to you any iniquity that is within you. And friends, if you find iniquity, I pray today you would come and you would repent of that iniquity. I pray that God would change you through these words. I'm going to ask that you can raise your head now, and here in just a moment, I'm going to ask that Brother Marty would come, but can you honestly say today that everything in that circle is holy? And if you can't, I think today's the day that we need to come. You need to make it right with God. You need to let God work through you. and you need to seek holiness today. What are you not doing that God has asked you to do? Perhaps that is a question we can ask. Maybe it isn't a sin necessarily, as far as maybe we're not just a liar, or maybe we're not holding a grudge. Maybe it's a lack of obedience. Maybe God is calling you to do something that you refuse to do. That is unholiness. So if there's something here today, maybe that God's telling you, you need to do that, come and commit to Him to do it today. And I want to take this opportunity to allow each of us that opportunity to repent of that. Perhaps God is calling you to come to this altar and pray, and if so, to leave all of your unholiness right here and to allow the Word of God to change your life. Perhaps you say today, I don't even know who God is. Well, if that's you today, I pray that you would come, you would repent of your sins, you would turn away from them. You would believe that He went to the cross of Calvary, died and rose again on the third day, so that you may have life. Today is the opportunity to seek His truth. Friends, if you'd bow with me in prayer. Father, I pray today that Your hand would be upon each and every one of us. Father, we're thankful today that You are a just judge. And that, Father, You know what is in our hearts. And, Father, I pray today that if there is iniquity among us, that, Father, we would repent of that iniquity. Father, that we would seek Your truth, we would seek Your Word, and, Father, most of all, we would seek to be holy today. Father, I pray that whatever the need may be today, if there is someone here who feels You're calling them to church membership or to baptism, or Father, You're someone You're calling to just make something right with You. Or Father, someone may be called to know You for the first time today. Father, I pray today would be the day that they would come, that they would kneel at this altar, and that they would pray, and that their lives would be forever changed. And I say this in Your name. Amen. Would you stand with me?